If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Literally, the reunion came out last night, and you're the first person I'm talking to about it. So, like, as I'm listening to you, I'm, like, thinking about how I'm thinking about the reunion.
Lauren and Dave.
My hot take is I really don't think Dave was that bad. I really don't
you
think
don't.
No, I don't. This is my hot take. When he like says, like, I've always been into women for their looks, I saw him getting roasted for that. And I'm like, he's kind of the perfect candidate for Love is Blind. Like, he's also being honest.
What did you think about Sarah and Ben?
When you're in the pods, you talk about like literally every aspect of life. Politics is one of those things. So I don't fault them for talking about it. But with all of the footage they had for the network to focus on that, I was a little surprised.
When Monica came out in the reunion and said, I'm so embarrassed the way it looked, you didn't want to be around me and everyone saw it.
Neither of them said, I love you. You. That's pretty hard to imagine marrying someone when you have, neither of you said, I love you. No L-bombs dropped.
Virginia and Devin. There wasn't much to her besides wanting to make a man happy. And she made a statement right after she says no, which shocked me.
My hot take is I thought she was totally not into him at all.
What? Where'd you get that?
Maybe delusion. I really get why you're the misunderstood podcast because you really do try and come with an understanding lens, which is very rare.
Do you think that Love is Blind? Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Love is Blind is the Netflix reality dating show that has captivated audiences season after season. The idea is simple. Fall in love without ever seeing the person you're talking to. But is it really that simple? How much of what we see is real and how much is curated for the cameras? And after the pods, exotic trips, and wedding day drama, what actually happens when the cameras stop rolling? Today, we're diving deep into Love is Blind Season 8 now that the reunion has aired, and there's no one better to help us break it all down than someone who's been through the experiment himself. My guest today is Leo Brody, a cast member from Season 7, who knows firsthand what it's like to date, get engaged, and live through a whirlwind of reality TV. He's here to spill on what's real, what's fake, and what we didn't see on screen. Plus, we'll get his unfiltered thoughts on Season 8, who he thinks should have worked out, what shocked him the most from the reunion, and what it's really like being part of one of Netflix's most binge-worthy shows. This is one of my favorite episodes with one of my favorite people. Enjoy my conversation with Leo Brody. Leo, thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood.
I'm so excited to be here.
So I just want our listeners to know that this is not the first time we've met. The last time I saw you, you were at my home playing pickleball with me in my backyard, and I had the best time with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was really a special way to meet.
Yeah. So what was funny was I invited Jill and her boyfriend, Gary, and her daughter, Allie, over. And they said, her husband. And I asked if we could, they asked if they could bring a friend. And I was like, sure. So in walks Leo. And I'm like, wait a minute, I recognize this face. And we just had the best time. But you told the best story about how you came into Jill's life. Do you mind sharing that?
Sure. I feel so lucky. So as the show was coming out, Jill reached out to me on Instagram, and she thought that Allie and I would just really get along and that we would be like great friends. And then I ended up meeting them down at Art Basel because they split time between New York and Miami. And so the first time we met was actually at Art Basel. And then I felt like I'd known them my whole life, honestly, from the moment we met. And Jill was like, come stay with me in Boca. And a few weeks later, I was flying back down to Boca to stay with her. And then I guess I didn't even know that you didn't know I was coming. She just said, can I bring a friend? And then
can I bring my friend? Yeah, I didn't pay attention.
That's got to be a really funny thing for me just to walk in like, oh, it's the Love is Blind guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, especially being such a fan of the show, though, I knew your face. And then when you said your name, I was like, oh, I get it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but the first thing I noticed, which obviously so many of us are misunderstood, so I get it, but you are like the quintessential person that's been on a reality show. You were portrayed a certain way. And when I met you, you were absolutely nothing like how I saw you on the show. And they had really made you out to sort of be the villain in it. So anyways, it was my pleasure to have met you, and I'm so glad you're here. And I don't even want to get into that, really. We could talk a little bit about it at the end, but let's get into season 8. The reunion just came out last night. Mm-hmm. Were you watching it as the whole season played out, or did you binge it? How do you watch these shows?
So, the reunion I watched live. Okay. So in the past I would watch it, I guess, as they came out. Mm-hmm. This one, actually, if I must say, I actually got to watch this one a little bit ahead of time. So I had watched a lot of the episodes, and then the wedding episode I hadn't seen. So I watched the wedding episode when it came out, and then the reunion, I tuned in when everybody did. I couldn't wait. I felt like that was going to be where all the action happened, because there didn't seem to be quite as much earlier in the season.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. So what was your biggest takeaway from the reunion?
That there is a lot more than meets the eye. There was clearly a lot of activity in the back end of the casting. And I think that's one thing that was true with my season is, you know, they like you're part of such like this crazy experiment experience, and you're all in the same thing that you feel like you're forever bonded. And like, you know, there's a whole year between like filming and the release. And that, I guess a lot of people, another thing that's funny is I keep seeing this, that like everybody seems to know each other in Minnesota.
Right. What is that? Isn't Minnesota quite a big place? It seems a little odd.
I guess it's just the culture, because everybody stays there for generations.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like I saw a TikToker and he was like, let me tell you how much everyone in Minnesota knows each other. He goes, Sarah, he's like, I went to prom with her. And then he goes, Molly, that's my cousin. Ben, I have like my friends are coworkers with him. He like named off like 5 people. And he's like, that's just like an average person in Minneapolis.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, so here was my biggest takeaway from the reunion. That the women had the best makeup artist I've ever seen. Those girls looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they, actually, yeah. I didn't understand. I knew it had been a year. I think some of them have probably done a lot of like Ozempic or whatever, because their bodies looked completely different. And like, I'm here for it. I thought they looked gorgeous, and I could not get over how like they were all radiating. So for me, that was what stopped me at first. The second thing was that there seemed to be a lot of animosity between them. Do you know what I mean? There was a lot of kind of arguing and bickering, a lot of the women jumping on the bandwagon to be mean to the guys. And then they also didn't like, what was the girl with the nose ring and the blonde hair? And she came back.
Madison.
A lot of them seemed to have a problem with her. I don't know. I just felt like there was a lot of nastiness that went on, and a lot of resentment over the course of the year that they've haven't been filming. So that was kind of my takeaway from that.
Yeah, for sure. It's also interesting because some people like talk before the reunions and try and hash things out. And some people don't. I think it's better for TV when they don't, but but it's interesting because I said this in another podcast, when I was in the reunion for me, like Brittany and I had already been good friends, but Hannah and me was where I had like exploded her, but I like called her before the reunion and we had this whole like apology, but it seems like a lot of them there had not necessarily spoken for a while and it was raw.
Well, and I can't remember, but did that come out like that was manipulative that you guys had talked beforehand and apologized? And did you notice how last night they made it seem like, oh, well, you called me to try and, you know, make me not say anything bad?
Yeah, well, when I called Hannah, it was actually interesting because I had actually called. I was really on the fence about it. Mm-hmm. And what I actually didn't want to do was I really did feel bad how I acted with her. And I didn't want to like when I called her, I was literally sobbing my eyes out. I didn't want to do that at the reunion because I felt like that in itself, even if it was genuine, almost is performative. It's like, oh, okay, now he cried. Like I almost wanted to give her the real one off camera. Cause if someone gives you this heartfelt thing, you're like, really, you had a year to call me and you didn't call me.
Right.
I never told her we never talked like what you can say or not say. Like that's up to them.
Right.
But yeah, I saw that with Ben. That was, I honestly felt bad when I heard that they like, cause Jimmy had given advice to Ben. And then
Jimmy's not necessarily the best person to be giving advice, don't you think?
I mean, he didn't get married on the show. And he was too, like, he looked kind of like the dunce in two of the top five moments. But I want to say this. Jimmy reached out to me when I was like going through my villain edit and just was like really supportive. Like he just sent me DMs, like, keep your head up, man. And I know it's rough. So I think he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I mean, listen, I think that for the most part, everybody has their good qualities and sometimes you have your bad qualities. And this is probably why a lot of these people have remained single. I want to remind people, everyone's really young on the show. So there's no shame in the fact that people have not been married before too. And you hear a lot of that, like, well, why are you still single? Or why haven't you been able to have a relationship that's turned into marriage? Okay, everyone's young. And up until this season, it seemed like nobody had a lot of money. But besides you, do you know what I mean? So like, so it seemed like every time you got to their apartments, they were living in like a studio apartment that might've been a hoarder's house that they had cleaned out for the show. This season, everyone seemed to have really nice apartments. Did you notice that?
That's interesting. I didn't think about that, but yeah, everyone did seem to like have like, yeah, everyone seemed to be living pretty decently.
Yeah, living better than in the past, which I've always said, I think it's really hard to put two people together, have them fall in love, and then have them come out and you have to think of real things. Finances is a real thing. I mean, you can't act like you're not marrying somebody. Like, definitely shouldn't marry somebody for money, but it's a factor in how you're going to move forward, especially when you are young and starting out. And if somebody is marrying someone that literally doesn't have a job or, you know, is making $7.50 an hour, it's probably going to be a problem, you know? So I think this season they really thought about that and everyone seemed to have the ability. I mean, I heard a couple say they bought a house, you know, another couple was talking about how they wanted to buy a house. So like, you know, it seemed like everybody was somewhat wealthy is a strong word, but, you know, comfortable enough to be getting into a relationship that seems normal at that age. So, all right, let's go through the couples. First of all, did anyone surprise you on how it ended?
Joey surprised me a little bit.
Okay. Which one's Joey?
Joey's the one with the long hair.
Oh, the long hair. Right.
Long hair. He's got the great Minnesota accent. Mm-hmm. It seems the jury is out, but that he might have sent Madison a DM. Was it flirty? Was it friendly? Was it in between while he was engaged to Monica? That was just very surprising. I wouldn't have expected that. I expected him to have like zero drama.
But I heard that too on the reunion. And I kind of thought, I was bummed out that Madison wasn't like, okay, he's like, look at him. He's just trying to be friendly. And yeah, maybe it was inappropriate, but like, he strikes me as someone who's just, he was just trying to be friends. And I wished that Madison didn't seem like such a pot stirrer, and maybe he wanted more, but I doubt it. I don't know. They seemed into each other. They bothered me because they always giggled so much. I didn't think it was like a mature relationship, but at the same time, I didn't think it was as bad as when Monica came out in the reunion and said, I'm so embarrassed the way it looked. You didn't want to be around me and everyone saw it but me. I didn't see that. I just thought that they weren't maybe, you know, they were in the friend zone. Okay. It's not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I felt like a lot of fingers were pointed at him. I mean, I was a little bit surprised at that, but did you think they were going to get engaged when they got up there?
Oh, get married. Honestly, no. I think because I just saw, I feel like since I didn't see any deep conversations, it doesn't mean they didn't have them, because there's goes without saying, but there's so much they don't show. Now, I'm less of an expert outside of the pods because I kind of was pods and reunion. So this is
right.
Me just figuring, but nonetheless, they didn't seem to have any of these. Like, also, neither of them said, I love you. That's pretty hard to imagine marrying someone when neither of you said, I love you to each other.
See, I missed that the whole time. And I heard that later. What did they say? Love ya? Or they didn't say it at all?
I don't think they just, no L-bombs dropped.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Which is interesting.
All right, that's interesting. What did you think about Sarah and Ben? First of all, adorable couple. They looked really good together.
Mm-hmm.
I was thrown when that came out that he only washes his hair once every 2 weeks. I mean, that he had maybe a little bit of a hygiene problem. Did you see that?
Yeah, but I know some people don't wash their hair a lot. They say it's supposed to be good for it. I wash my hair every day, but some people don't. His hair looked fine. It didn't look dirty, I guess. So
it didn't look dirty either, but then I was like, oh, does he not shower? I don't know. I thought that was weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he looked clean. I couldn't smell him through the screen, but I mean, she's a pretty girl. I imagine she wouldn't be with him if he smelled bad. But right. Yeah.
Right. Well, were you shocked when she said no there?
Honestly, I wasn't that shocked either. I don't think, okay, they presented it. It's funny. There's always seems to be an angle. They presented it as like the political beliefs were the only thing, but it wasn't like I did not see them as this absolutely perfect couple that had this amazing relationship, but there was this one thing they couldn't get over. It seemed that there was also like some drama with some TikTok stuff on the back end,
right?
That they kind of didn't go into the full story, because I feel like that's its own whole thing, but that I'm sure like led to issues, but I don't know.
Okay, so here's how I felt about that. Did you notice that on this season, they talked so much? And by the way, so Dan, my boyfriend will come in and out and watch this once in a while. And he's from Minnesota, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
He had such a hard time because every time he came in, there was something political or religious or LGBTQ or Black Lives Matter related. And it was kind of like, this is sort of deep for Love is Blind. And it didn't seem, I don't know. I felt uncomfortable watching that a little bit. I thought it didn't make it as fun because that conversation is not meant for that show. I mean, those conversations are very serious and I get you want somebody with your same beliefs, but they really got into them in a lot of ways. I didn't love that about the couples. It made it a little tense and uncomfortable to watch for me.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many things, like when you're in the pods, you talk about like literally every aspect of life and politics is one of those things. So I don't fault them for talking about it, but with all of the footage they had for the network to focus on that, I was a little surprised. I agree. Cause there's such touchy subjects that it just doesn't, to me, when I'm watching a dating reality show, I understand politics being brought up in one sense, but it seemed to be like, I mean, we're talking about like really complicated and like,
yeah. And then we had to follow them to church. I thought that was,
I agree. I was a little uncomfortable watching that too.
But you brought up something that I forgot about until this moment about that TikTok issue. So that bothered me because it was kind of like, all right, so there's a girl that's coming on that we find out later dated him 4 years before, and whether or not he ghosted her or not, she was upset. I mean, unless she was like accusing him of beating her or something and being a terrible guy, I kind of didn't get it. So I was like, that's lame, you know, and maybe she should have reached out to the girl and talked to her. But then to bring it up later in the reunion and say, okay, I see it now. You ghosted me. I mean, not for anything. She left him at the altar. So what, you know, and then she wants him to come down to wherever the hell she was going, Nashville. And after they had talked about being broken up, it was sort of like, well, who are you to think that this guy's going to come there with you? And so he ghosted you. It doesn't mean he's a terrible guy. It means he handles things probably not the best way, but I don't know. I also thought that was very immature.
You know, this is so funny because literally the reunion came out last night and you're the first person I'm talking to about it. So like, as I'm listening to you, I'm like thinking about how I'm thinking about the reunion.
Right.
That's really a good point. You know, here's the thing with the TikTok. I think, right, the woman who was on TikTok, basically, she was just like, it sounded like he was like maybe dated her and kind of ghosted her or something. It didn't sound like it was anything awful. But I do think Ben did that when he kept saying like, oh, I don't really remember. It's like, dude, you remember.
That was stupid. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You should just own it. Been like, yeah, I was younger.
I didn't know how to end it.
Yeah, I didn't know how to hurt her feelings.
I just stopped talking to her.
Or maybe even if you just said, I was younger, I was a bit of an asshole when I was younger. I'm sorry. You would have been fine. Like, yeah, I think that I don't remember is actually got him in more trouble than just like doing something when he was younger.
Yeah, but then she tried to turn it around on him and be like, now I get it because you ghosted me. And then all the girls start to like jump down his throat. I'm like, okay, so what? Who hasn't been? I was ghosted. It was terrible, but I wouldn't sit there and cry about it. I mean, it was years ago. And then I'm sure I've ghosted people that I just didn't want to, you know, end things with. I don't know. It's like so immature to talk about that. I don't know.
I really get why you're the Misunderstood podcast, because you really do try and come with an understanding lens, which is very rare.
Right.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Well, yeah, because I feel like each side, each person really should have their side. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Who else did I fall? Okay. I fell in love with Taylor and Daniel from the beginning in the pods. Yeah. I was like, these guys are amazing. It bummed me out. And I think I texted you because of that scene where she comes out the next day and she's like, I think that you followed me on Instagram and unfollowed me. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I didn't understand this because I loved her. I loved him. I thought that they had such a good connection, and whether or not he had followed her or not doesn't make him a stalker. And that's kind of like what they were trying to get at. And whether or not he had seen her before, yes, I mean, all right, she's saying I'm so pretty, so he only wants to be with me because I'm so pretty. They had a really good connection in the pod. So there are plenty of people that, I mean, have you been on a dating app?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know that you're only seeing somebody from the way they look, right? And then you meet them or you hear their voice and then you're like, they suck. So like, you could be in the pods for 10 days and realize, yeah, she might be the hottest thing, but she's annoying. So I didn't really get where, even if he had seen her or hadn't seen her, why this was such a crazy scenario that we need to like make him out to be a stalker. What did you think of that?
So, okay. So I've done a lot of thinking about that and I have a few theories. One is maybe she just saw him on a dating app and got him confused with something else. Mm-hmm. Minnesota is so small.
Right.
As what it sounds like that I feel like it, first of all, it's possible that he did that. Like people were talking and he heard someone might also be on, but in my effort to be understanding, I think also you know, when you're in the pods in that situation, there's so much going on. Like, I don't know, my brain was like fried. Like, you're not sleeping a lot because your mind is racing every day. Like, I feel like, to me, it seemed like she was scared. And the moment that it didn't happen, I feel like she was like, he wasn't following her. She couldn't find it. I feel like she almost seemed to really regret doing that.
Yeah, she should have.
I think she had like a, I feel like she had a moment of whatever. I don't want to say weakness, whatever, but yeah, I'm glad that nothing came up, because that would have been so sad if, you know, she had seen.
I was so glad because it was teased right after that scene happened. So the show ends, and then the upcoming like Honduras trip is teased, and they were not in it. So, and you know, I was watching this with like my daughter. So I'm like, oh my God, Wyatt, they left. Like, I'm so bummed. They were the only people. She's like, Mom, relax. I've watched the next episode. They're in it. Because I really would have been bummed. And he handled it so well. He's so cute. I don't know why he's insecure about his height. He's adorable. And so the thing is, I was bummed that she didn't show him. I felt like she didn't show him a lot of affection. She would say, oh, I love you. She would give him a peck. I was looking. She didn't really hold him and touch him and squeeze him. And I got very nervous she was going to say no. And I'm so happy she didn't.
Oh, that's so interesting. God, I remember when she did say yes. It's funny. They cut to Daniel's dad, and he just like has like the biggest grin. Like, you can tell, because he knows that Daniel's going to say yes. So when he said yes, you can tell, like, he like looks over. It's so cute. Also, what I thought was adorable is Taylor lost her voice in the pods in the first couple episodes. Like, she was like speaking with a hoarse voice.
Right.
Which, that happened to me one day when I was in the pods. It wasn't like the same thing that happened to her, but there was one day just from so much talking. I never forget, the Wranglers went out and they got me this like Manuka honey that I guess like opportunity. I'm telling you, I don't have a TikTok shop link, but that stuff works. That stuff brought me back to life. But it was it's like a horror. Like, think of how lucky you feel to get in the pods and to then all of a sudden to lose your voice. She loses the first couple of days. It's like, oh my God, like, am I not going to have this amazing experience? Like, but I love that he was into her so much that even with her raspy voice, which is the only thing you can go off of, he still fell for her. So it truly was her personality. It wasn't even like a pretty voice in the beginning.
Right.
Really amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm so happy to hear about them. And I guess we should have seen that they were going to get engaged anyways. They're the only couple that had both parents meet each other. And when she was getting her dress done, she had his mom and her mom there, which I thought, you know, oh, wow. Yeah. That's like, obviously she really cares. And they seem like the best couple. By the way, did you not notice how gorgeous she looked at the reunion?
Yeah, she looked fantastic.
Like, do you think any of these girls did something? I was like, she was stunning.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like everybody that goes to this reunion, I assume, wants to look as good as they possibly can.
Right.
But I'm so bad at like knowing if somebody's like gotten work done or worked out or something. I'm so dumb with that. Like I'll be with a female friend and she'll be like, do you know that? And I'll be like, no, that's all natural. And they're like, no, you're an idiot. What was I? Oh, there was something I was going to say. Oh, the tattooing her eyes.
Chest.
That is a wild tattoo, but you know he's serious about her. Because you're not going to get someone's eyes tattooed if you don't expect to be truly married to them.
Well, I mean, I think he genuinely feels like that she is the best thing in the whole world, better than he could ever pull.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. Listen, this guy, he's a good looking guy. And he is one of the nicest guys. And by the way, he has an all-star family. His family was so kind and beautiful and sweet. Mm-hmm. And he has a blind sister and like his mom, you know, I got teary-eyed when he said that his mom's going through some cancer or whatever at the reunion. I mean, they just seem like the greatest family. So I feel like in a way she's very lucky to have married into that family as well. I mean, I wish them the best of luck. I can't wait to hear what happens with them.
For sure.
All right. Virginia and Devin. Virginia also looked great at the reunion. I thought she was the prettiest on the show during the show. She looked fantastic.
Gorgeous.
Here's what struck me about her. She, and I kept saying this to Dan when he would listen, there wasn't much to her besides wanting to make a man happy. it was very clear to me she didn't really know Devin and she was just picking him. And I remember he told the whole story about how he had to get the hip replacement or whatever he was talking about. When the other girl came back and said she kind of was into women, he tells the whole story to Virginia and Virginia's just like, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm here for you. We never heard anything about her. Like her life was about the guy she was picking. I had no idea why she picked him. It was just kind of like, okay, this woman is all about the guy she's with. And she made a statement right after she says no, which shocked me when she got up to the altar. And she's like, it's the first time I've ever picked myself first in a relationship. And I was like, that is so true. And I don't know if she made the right decision, but I definitely feel like she went with putting herself first in that moment. But I was shocked by that. Were you?
That she said no?
Yeah.
I thought the whole time, I was like, there's no chance. I actually thought, my hot take is I thought, but you know what? At the reunion, I was actually second guessing myself because she had said how she tried to like reach out to him. It sounded like almost date him or something.
Right.
I thought she was totally not into him at all. At all.
What? Where'd you get that?
Maybe delusion, but okay. But here's first of all, there was something about the baby voice that was like kind of off-putting to me that made me feel like she was just sort of that it was like a bit like she was just kind of like being nice, but didn't really, I guess I didn't really see a lot of affection, that doesn't mean anything. Also, I guess I get it. Love is blind, but there are some things like she's older than him. She makes more money than him. There is financial issues. I think she's at a lot later of a stage in her life. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see them really being into each other. I really couldn't get a read on them. And then it seems like I couldn't tell if they just really didn't communicate very well or if there was like all the stuff that happened off camera. Right. It almost sounds like they just didn't talk a lot. Like, and then they bring this, there was like a small political conversation, which became like this other, like a whole other politics thing.
Right. And then the whole prenup conversation seemed to, you know, be what they wanted to focus on. But then at the reunion, we heard it was more about what happened behind the scenes. She's like, well, I don't want to, you know, blow his shit up, but I'm into the LGBTQ community or whatever. And again, it was like, oh God, here we go. She's trying to say he's, you know, not into gays. And it was such a bummer.
I guess in that moment, I felt bad for Devin largely because like she said no to him at the altar.
Right.
Like, you know, I don't know. And then to throw him on those, but then again, I guess there was some stuff like he received this $1,000 check and didn't tell her or whatever.
Yeah.
I can see both sides. I don't know. I'm not surprised that she said no, but I'll tell you what, I was honestly really surprised at how emotional, like when she said no, she was really torn up.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know.
And he seemed surprised. He was torn up.
He seemed really torn up too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I still wonder about, I don't know. I never could get a read on them.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good point. All right. So let's get into the couple that I really was obsessed with watching, which is Lauren and Dave.
Yeah.
Do you want to bring, like, what do you want to say about them before I get into it? Start from your thoughts from when we first meet them in the pods, by the way.
Okay. First meet them in the pods. You know, I think really what we're talking about is Dave.
Yeah.
Just right. Because let's be real.
Let's be
honest. Lauren seems great. There's nothing I can say in the best way possible. So when he's first introduced, he's like making these crude jokes like, oh, you're old, so you're not hot anymore. That's definitely like, it's a mean joke bordering on mean. I get it. It didn't seem like, I don't know. They started right with that. And I was like, oh man, they're building up to not be a good guy. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, I just try to always be understanding. I felt like he wasn't, my hot take is I really don't think Dave was that bad. I really don't
you
think.
Don't.
I don't. This is my hot take.
Okay.
I don't think he was that bad.
Do you think that him and Lauren were a match? Like when I was sweating. I had to put tissues under my armpits when they were coming out of the room, you know, the thing to see each other. Because listen, he's a pretty good looking guy.
Sure.
I like her a lot. I'm not saying this in a mean way. I did not think he was going to find her attractive. And listen, by the way, she looks amazing. She totally is a beautiful person. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. I just thought this is not his type. To me, I see his type as like, you know, very LA, Miami. But, you know, then again, I was putting him on this thing where this guy's a jerk. So he probably just likes jerky girls. Do you know what I mean? And I was thinking that he is thinking she's going to look like Pamela Anderson, and she just didn't. Right. So they come out and I was like, oh God, he's not going to be attracted to her. And he's going to just be mean. Now, he did not do that. He was actually very kind and said she was beautiful and loved her. But here's what I don't understand. What the hell is wrong with this guy? And again, I texted you about this. What kind of a loser sits there and talks about the entire show, her being with someone else because his friends and his sister and everyone else is talking about it? He's talking about it. He's the only one talking about it. What kind of, like, he has no self-esteem. I thought it made him look terrible and so insecure. And I just was like, this guy really needs to go to therapy. That's how I felt about it.
I think all of that is true. I think all that is true. I'll add a little bit. Okay. Here's my feelings. First off, I always felt that before we get into the, like all the stuff that you said, when he like says, like, I've always been into women for their looks and superficial because I work at a plastic, you know, I work at like a plastic surgery sales rep or whatever. I saw him getting roasted for that. And I'm like, he's kind of the perfect candidate for Love is Blind. Like, he's also being honest. So I always respect his honesty. He was like, he even kind of said, he's like, he sort of seemed to imply like, I've been a womanizer. I go for women for their looks. This is me.
Yeah, kind of I didn't have a problem with that. Right. I just didn't think they were going to be a good match.
So when he kept bringing up, so first there was this guy, and I've been seeing on TikTok that this guy, first of all, totally Dave's in the wrong for like not only not trusting Lauren, but not letting him meet his family or sister or friends. Mm-hmm. Super weird. An argument could be made that he never really wanted to be with her and that he just was using it as an excuse. Totally valid argument. I'm on the fence on it.
Okay.
This guy though, I've been seeing him on, he like made his own Love is Blind poster with like, did you see,
I don't know anything about it. Wait, so you mean you follow the guy who we're all talking about and he's just known as the guy?
I don't follow the guy, but I have seen on TikTok, he has tried to like basically
become a star.
Clout chase from this, it sounds like, but here's another thing, that small bit of understanding for Dave, that guy lived in the building that they lived during the living part, which they don't really say.
Like, right. I think I heard that too.
You mentioned that briefly.
Okay.
Which makes it 1% more understandable. Like it is like, but
you got to get rid of your jealousy. I mean, quite 100%. Frankly, and I thought what Nick, I think, said during the reunion was really valid. He was like, listen, is it okay for someone to have a one night stand and then the next day go out and meet someone that they fall in love with and marry? And everyone's like, yeah, kind of. I mean, it shouldn't be a scandal. They came on the show, hopefully with their minds open to say, yeah, whatever happened in the past didn't work, so I'm going to try this. If she was in love with somebody, then that's a whole different scandal, you know, and I don't think that she would have been on the show because it would have been, as a woman, I don't understand the whole bachelor, bachelorette type of thing because I can't be in love with more than one person at once. It just doesn't work for me. So
I guess that's actually not true. I said same, and then I was in love with two women in the pods, but generally, but you
know what I mean. That's different. in the pods where you actually don't know all the facts yet. So had you had them on a platter in front of you, you probably could have.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. But so anyway, I thought the level of jealousy made him look so ridiculous, and he's such a good looking guy. And I think that really hurt him. I mean, his level came down like immediately because he wouldn't shut up about it. Wait, I'm dying to know about the other guy. Was he good looking?
No. So this is what's really funny. I don't even know his name. Okay. I just have seen his photo shared on TikTok. He made like weird videos. Like there was one video where he was like in a podcast studio, but like looking like he was going to sit down to record a podcast, but it was like a fake clip of him like almost like teasing a podcast that didn't happen, but then like trying to get on podcast. It's almost like the videos that have his like that show that like repost him and talk about him are not tagging his handle, I think, to like not give him the clout. But the guy seems like, to be honest, a bit of a goober. It was super uncool with David. He's also implying that she's like doesn't have like womanly morals, you know, from like, no, that was super, super uncool. Where I do find a bit of understanding for Dave, this one specific incident, okay, is I see all this stuff with like his sister and like keeps mentioning his sister. And all these comments are like, dude, are you in love with your sister? Like, right? Where is your sister? I feel bad. First of all, I feel bad for Dave's sister because she didn't ask for this. And now so that's the first thing. And the second is,
right, because she has such a bad edit. Also, everyone's like, Dave's sister sucks.
Yeah, she wasn't even in the show.
Right, right.
So she's wondering, like, if someone finds out, because his last name,
I should try and get her on the show just to find out who she is.
I'm sure a lot of people have tried to get her on.
Right. That's so funny.
But again, he should have pushed his sister to meet her. That, no excuse for that.
Right.
But I got sort of a bit of a, I would almost say cartoonish edit in the pods. I seemed like the guy who every 2 seconds he's talking about money. Like he can't stop talking. He can't stop talking. Like if he mentions his sister 6 times over the course of a couple of weeks building up to this thing, they can make it seem like he's just talking about it all day. So
right.
I was probably more balanced. I think in the reunion, he did a decent job of taking accountability. He seemed remorseful, but he still tried to blame the guy a little bit. He should have been like, it was totally my fault.
It's been a year, like you said, and for him to say, well, I've had a lot of clarity in the last 2 weeks. What? I mean, it's really been on your mind for a year. Like and you only got clarity 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I found it, you know, really gross, kind of. By the way, and again, she looked phenomenal at the reunion. And I just, you know, I felt sort of bad for her because it seemed like he was making her out to be, you know, the reason or the cause in this situation. And it was 100% him. So I don't think she got a fair deal on that show. The other thing, Dan wanted to come in here and give his hot take, because his hot take is, he's like, I have to say it.
Uh-huh.
And his is, as a you know, a guy watching this, an outsider, he's like, this guy had no balls. He spent the entire time at the end of being in the pods when he was breaking up with, I think her name was Molly, right?
Yes.
The redhead. Dan said it was so obvious that he made Molly have to ask him, so are you breaking up with me? Like, he didn't have the balls just to come out and say to Molly, it's over, right?
Right.
And it seems like from the second he saw Lauren, he just wanted to figure out a way to get out of it by blaming her or making her have to make that decision again. And he's like, if you don't want to be with somebody, just tell them. And, you know, you don't have to hurt their feelings about it, but like, let's be clear about it. And he just came out as a guy that seemed like he had no balls. And Dan was just like, this guy's just a jerk, you know? So he felt really bad for Lauren. So that's, you know, a hot take from a 57-year-old guy.
That's a fair point.
And I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think that he it seems like a pattern for Dave, in my opinion.
Yeah. I actually was surprised. I guess to each own, I actually thought Lauren was one of the prettiest on the show.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought he was going to really be into her looks wise. Maybe he was and still just didn't want to get married. Maybe it's so tough. There's so much that happens behind the scenes that you just never hear about.
Holistic Goddess has been such a trusted resource for me on my health journey. One product I really wanted to highlight is their Holistic Menopause Support by PhD Health. It's been a game changer for me during perimenopause, and here's why I love it. It eases discomfort. It really helps with hot flashes and mood swings. It boosts focus. The ingredients in it, including creatine, support mental sharpness. I feel more focused and clear-headed, which is so important for my busy days. It nurtures comfort. It gently addresses vaginal dryness with black cohosh. It's comforting to have that support during this time. It has natural ingredients. I love that it uses these ingredients like sage and rhubarb extract. If you're going through similar changes like perimenopause and menopause, I highly recommend giving this a try. It's been a relief for me, and I think it could help you too. Go to holisticgoddess.com and use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off all orders. Again, that's holisticgoddess.com for 15% off using code UNDERSTOOD. Code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off all orders. Again, that's holisticgoddess.com for 15% off using code UNDERSTOOD.
That's so,
so actually, let's get into that. Will you tell us behind the scenes what it's like? First of all, how are most people, it sounds like, and people that I've interviewed on the show, it sounds like a lot of people are actually contacted. They don't do, you know, the submissions as much as we think. So how did you get on the show? How are most people found on the show?
So most people are found on the show because they are contacted. Mm-hmm. And they get contacted through dating apps, LinkedIn, Instagram, like any and all things. I actually applied on a total whim, and I believe of the 15 guys that were on the show, only two were there by applying. So in that sense, I guess that was very rare for me. And I mean, I don't think anybody that, like, as someone who applied, I didn't expect to get on. Like, I don't think anybody does.
Were you shocked when you heard back from them?
Totally. I was shocked to hear back from them. And the other thing is, like, the casting process takes like a year. Mm. Like, there's so many interviews and questions. And I know there's always things that come out like, they don't do any due diligence. It's hard to know everything in somebody's life.
Right.
Like, unless they have people in there. But anyways, the more interviews I got, the more I was like, oh my God, is this like actually going to happen? So, I mean, I can't, it still feels surreal. But most of them, I think, got hit up. Like, so when people, I've had people ask me, like, what's the secret? Like, what's the secret to getting on Love is Blind? And I'm like, luck.
Right.
Luck. That's it.
And do you think that there was anything, though, that stood out? I mean, obviously, you were a little bit different because of your career path. And that's why they chose to have that angle, I guess. But do you think while you were doing it, you're like, oh, I have the upper hand because of this?
Honestly, no. Well, I did feel like I guess being an art dealer I feel like it made me memorable. Mm-hmm. But it's weird. They're not really interviews. They're almost actually kind of like podcasts, the way they're talking to you. Mm-hmm. I think what they really cast on, in my belief, is personality.
Right.
Like, I don't think they really care if someone has something interesting. Really, personality is what sells, I think, any reality show or show in general.
Right. And where did yours take place? I forget.
The filming was in LA for the pods.
Okay.
And then the DC portion, which I wasn't really a part of, was filmed in the DC area.
Okay. So was most of the cast from DC?
All of the cast was from the Washington, DC area, like what they call the DMVs, so like Northern Virginia.
Right.
So DC.
But you didn't live there, right?
Oh, and Baltimore. Sorry, DC and Baltimore.
Okay.
No, I did live there at the time. I actually moved up to New York in between filming and the show's release.
The reunion.
Yeah.
Oh, the show's release. Okay, yeah.
Correct, yes.
Okay, and then so once you go on, like, what do they tell you? You're going to be here for X amount of days, weeks? Like, how does it work?
So the pods, the total amount, you're there for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. There's like an orientation where they show you around and how everything works and the cameras and all this. And then you end up having, I guess it was 10 days of filming, 10 days. And it's the shortest and longest 10 days of your life. And then basically you're filming and you're in the pods all day.
And how do you like figure out, first of all, on day one, are you let, you know, they say, okay, there's 15 girls and you get to pick X amount and you have to be in the pods X amount. Like, what are the logistics of that?
Sure. So the logistics of this, which actually I know I can talk about because it just, they spoke about it in an interview, the creator. So they actually have an algorithm, which is really interesting. They used to do it by hand, I guess, but it's an algorithm from like a Harvard economist or something, which is kind of crazy or something like that, where, all right, 15 guys, 15 girls. Each day you date less people for more time. Kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So you rank them like 1 through 15. And then as they get less and less people, then obviously you're ranking less people, but they're also ranking you. So what the algorithm does is like, if you rank them high and they rank you high, you obviously see them again. Mm-hmm. If too low, you don't see them again. But what if like you rank them high, they ranked you low, maybe you see them? Or like, what if a lot of people ranked you low, but and her low, like, you know, there's like all these factors that the algorithm like somehow figures out the optimal way to match people. But what's really tough is you have to cut a lot of people in the beginning because you go from like I guess 15, then you cut it down to half after the first day. And so.
And how much time are you given to talk to all 15?
To talk to all 15, you're only, you're given like, we might have to cut this part. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, I'm just, okay. So the reason why I'm asking the question is, are you given enough time with these people to decide whether or not you want to see them again, or like that they, that they've made an impression on you, or does it seem more forced and the algorithm is deciding that for you?
I would say I almost, not really, you know, it's tough though. So basically when you're dating the 15 people, it's like speed dating.
Okay.
Like, I'll say it's like under half an hour. Like you're not spending a ton of time, like, cause you're just trying to catch a real quick vibe and you know, it's the first day. So you're like, you know, you're kind of just giggly because you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. I'm in the pods. Like there's the wall, like all this stuff. So, you know, there's only so much you can, I mean, the funny thing is speed dating in real life. What, no, the thing they want, you know, if you, which I feel like doesn't happen anymore. That's what dating apps are kind of, but it's basically, do you find the other person attractive? Is the conversation moderately good? Then you can see each other. But here, all you have is a conversation. So you might just, there's, you have to make this big cut after the first day, and you cut like half the people. So that was actually a ton of pressure because you're like, oh my God, like I've only talked to these people for a little bit of time. We haven't really gotten deep. Right. Like it's just been playful. So that, that gets hard, but I do think it all ultimately like shakes out and there's no other way to do it. So like everyone's ranking everybody else. And then like the people that like each other get put together.
Got it. And then they usually have about five people that they're following. What if 10, 11, 12 people are getting proposed to, or does it just never work out that way?
I guess every season it's different. Uh-huh. And like this season, there was two couples that got engaged that they didn't show.
Oh, did you know that?
We know from, I'm like on Love is Blind social media all day, every day. So, during the release. So, yeah, I guess we know that from their socials. And then there's also like TikTok accounts that like, they're basically like reality TV, like sleuth reporter folks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was two. There was a couple named Kylie and Brian. And then actually Brittany, the one who likes women.
Yeah.
Or has dated women in the past, I should say, got engaged to a guy named Mo. So she actually got engaged, interestingly enough, but they weren't shown. And the funny thing is, so in our season, seven couples got engaged and six went to Mexico. Brittany and I were the only ones that didn't go to Mexico. But then ultimately, we were still, our story was shown. So actually, in our season, every couple that got engaged was shown.
Got it. Okay.
Totally different every season.
Right. So what do you think that's like for the two couples that got engaged that weren't shown? Are they just like, oh, we don't find you interesting enough? Or like, how do they get cut? In your opinion?
Well, I don't. Okay. I know how we didn't, when they told us we weren't going to Mexico, I had assumed that I would be cut. So I guess I can tell you what happened to me.
Okay. Yeah. But why did you assume you would be cut? You guys got engaged and had a story like anyone else, no?
Just because I had heard in past seasons that couples that get engaged that don't go to like, don't go to the vacation get cut. Like, I think we are the only couple in Love is ever in Love is Blind that they showed us getting engaged. We didn't go further on. And they showed our like actual reveal, but then also showed our story. Like, I don't think they've actually ever done that before. So we were like a weird situation.
Right. So you guys, and remind me, you guys got engaged. We see you get engaged. We see a little bit after. And then it says they decided to go to Miami together. That's it. And then we hear, and then we see you on the reunion, right?
Correct. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. That. And I guess the cast or the crowd is wondering like, what happened?
Yeah,
it's kind of like a weird abrupt, right. So for us, they told us that they felt that we were like, that we didn't have as big of a chance of getting married, they felt, as other couples. And to be fair, we didn't get married, so I can't argue with that logic.
Right.
One thing they said in an interview or in like a expose thing is that I guess when we left the reveal, we didn't look back at each other. And that's very significant to them. You know what, which is interesting, I guess. I don't even remember looking or not looking back. I don't, but that I guess was
Okay. Well, let's talk about that moment, because you always see these people and they're getting ready and they're fixing their hair and the music's swelling and the guy's rechecking the ring. And first of all, where do you get the ring? Do they supply you with the ring? Do they pay
for it? They supply.
Do they pick it out?
No, we pick it out.
Okay. And you get to keep it if you get engaged.
Yeah. Brittany, for example, right. Correct. Even though Brittany and I are no longer engaged, she gets to keep the ring. It's funny. I had people be like, did you ask for the ring back? I'm like, I didn't even pay for the ring. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not going to ask for the ring back. That's such a, like, I guess there's one season where I guess Marshall was asking for the ring back.
Right.
And at first it seemed like, oh, she's being mean by not giving him the ring back. I'm like, dude, you didn't even pay for the ring. Like,
right. Okay. Yeah. So the ring becomes your guys' property.
Correct. But what's interesting is the way you pick it is there's almost like a, like you don't know what their finger looks like or anything. So you're talking about it and they kind of give you like a little sheet that has like a couple options to choose from. And you kind of have like A and B. It's very stressful in the moment, because I think picking a ring is pretty important.
Yeah.
And even if it's in a crazy situation, like a reality show. So I was like sweating, and the way it happened, you kind of only had like, I feel like I had like a couple minutes to decide, because there's so much going on all at once, which is like the opposite of normal ring shopping. Is like, I feel like the guy wants to kill himself by the end of it, because there's so much, you know, decisions to be made. So in a sense, it was the most stressful 3 minutes, but then I guess I also got it over with.
Right. And then this is maybe a really superficial thing to be asking, but you know, there are people that can afford different levels of rings. So some of these rings might be like, oh wow, that's more than I could have afforded before. And it's great. And then for some people, you might be like, I'm not giving this shitty ring to my real wife. Like, what were your thoughts during that?
You know, I felt like getting engaged, if I was to get engaged and to be married, even just briefly engaged from the show, is so one-off, special, amazing, once-in-a-lifetime thing that even that ring could have been a ring pop and it would have been like the most amazing ring in the world. So I feel like
that's sweet.
First of all, okay. I think, yeah. So I said in that sense, that ring is amazing. I know that a lot of people that get married, I think they like will buy another engagement ring. Like I've heard that other couples in the show will do that, but that one will always, that's always like going to be a special ring, I feel like, just from
I love hearing that. Okay. Yeah. So you take it seriously and you think it has a special meaning.
In my opinion. Yeah. For me, it was very new. Actually, we talked about the ring a lot. Funny enough. Yeah. I mean, I'm an art dealer. I sell high end objects for a living. So to me, I think that like objects have a lot of significance to them.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was like very important.
Okay. I love that. I love your answer. Yeah. Okay. I didn't expect that. All right. So what is that moment like though, when the doors open? You really have no idea what they look like, correct?
Truly no idea. No, there's.
And right. They always say in their interviews, I'm so in love with the person through the wall. You know, it doesn't matter what they look like. Now, can you really, after 10 days or whatever it is, can you really feel this feeling of love and emotion and feel like, I don't care if she looks like a troll, I'm going to be in love with her?
Absolutely. Now, I think you can absolutely feel that way. Is that what will end up happening when you see them? I don't know. That, I think, is what makes the show so interesting. Right. Is I think some people can put like what their typical type would be aside, but I think you can totally, in the environment that they curate, where you don't have your phone and you're totally in the moment, you're just focused on that, and like that you're, it's like your one priority, and there's like, you're just so locked in. I've totally felt that. I do feel like that, you know, when you meet somebody though, there's still so much that to fill in. And it's way more than just like, I've talked about this with all the guys and all the girls from the season. There's way more than just, are they hot or not? That's right. Actually like, okay, that's still super relevant, but just even someone's vibe, you cannot get in through a wall. There's a big part of the vibe that's missing. Just like, you know, it's like even people out there that meet a girl or a guy in a dating app and they meet them and they look the same. They literally look the same as the photo, but it's totally different than they expect.
Right. It's like their mannerisms. It's their energy. It's their masculine or their feminine. I totally get what you're saying. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And I think there is something to be said for that, because listen, there are plenty of times I've dated very good looking people and I've thought they were, you know, I've been like, this is terrible. This isn't going anywhere. And then I have been friends with people for a certain amount of time, up to like a year, 2 years, 3 years, And I'm like, this person is so not technically a good looking person, but I've never been so in love with someone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's really about, I think, your chemistry with them, how they make you feel is also a big part of that too, you know? And you're right. Like that eye contact, I think, is also very important.
Yeah. I also think in my opinion that, so you can totally fall in love through a wall without seeing them and feel like looks don't matter at all. I really believe that. Hmm. I think the couples that get married, I think women are less shallow than men in terms of looks. Women can date a guy that, like, women date outside of maybe a physical type more.
Right.
I think for there to be a wedding, the first time the guy sees the girl, he has to at least think she's a little bit cute.
Right.
Just a little bit. Because like, it may not be.
I can work with this.
Right. It may not be his usual type, but I think he still has to see her and think, like, she's cute. There has to be a little something, I think.
Yeah.
I think if there's totally, totally nothing there, like, totally against, then I think it probably wouldn't. I would imagine it wouldn't work out.
So, all right. Having been on the show and having watched, I'm assuming, all the seasons, including this one, do you think that Love is Blind?
I actually do. Yeah. As corny as it is, I do.
Okay. And have you dated anyone since the show? And did you take now something you learned from the show into your new dating?
I have not done a ton of dating since the show. I've been kind of a monk. Okay. First of all, I wasn't really allowed to date for a long time because my relationship status was supposed to be like under wraps, kind of.
Oh, I see.
But it was discouraged in case someone had been like, I saw him out at a bar or on a date with a girl, because what, like, so that for the reunion, even though I was a secondary character, I was playing it careful. Then when I was in the villain part of me, I was like, I want to go on a date when I'm like a villain.
Right.
And now I guess that things are better. I'm starting to, but if there's one thing that I learned, it's one of the most significant things from the show is not just the blind thing. The blind thing is interesting, but it's how intentionally you date, because you begin with the end in mind. Like, you begin knowing you plan to propose to this person in 10 days if you are really like into them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like dating intentionally is so important. And that doesn't mean that you always have to date seriously, but like, if you go on a date with somebody and you're like, so what are you looking for on the first date? Are you looking for something serious or not? It's like, relax, like, chill out. But I think that in the show, that's super normal because you got to get to know them. We're really trying. And that's why I think you can actually build like 3 years of connection in like 3 days. So yeah. I think that, in my opinion, it's like, I think half of the battle of dating, and this is the thing in big cities, like, nobody wants to make like serious, have like very clear definitions of what they want. So that's really a big thing that I'm trying to take into it.
Right. So what do you want? Do you want to get married?
I do want to get married. I honestly think I need a little bit of single time after the show came out, because I haven't dated in like literally a year. I've gone on like literally 2 dates.
So do you think that's enough time, or do you think you need to be single a little bit longer? Like, what's your trajectory here, Leo?
I don't know. Maybe a couple months. I don't know.
So it's more like you're not actively like on dating apps looking, but if you ran into somebody or you became friends with somebody and all of a sudden sparks were created, it would happen. But you're not like actively out there making this a mission.
I'm not actively out there making, I think that's really what it is. I'm not actively out there making this a mission. But I mean, I would love for it to would love for it to happen.
Right.
But yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm still figuring things out.
Got it, which is totally fine. All right. So they announced last night that the new season was going to be filmed out of, where they say, Denver, Colorado. When do they start filming? Do you know? When do we get to see the next season?
I guess in 6 months, which
six
means
months we get to see it, or they start filming?
We get to see it.
Okay. So it's already filmed.
Correct. They filmed it a year. They filmed it 6 months ago because they filmed it a year before release. So I guess
you have any inside scoop on that?
I have legitimately zero. I do think that, I don't know, having football players announce the Denver season to me was like, I don't care. And we know they don't care.
Right.
the Denver Broncos, weird. The Denver Broncos could not give less of a shit. I was like, just have Nick and Vanessa in Denver being like, we'll see you here.
Right.
Right.
And by the way, side note, what do you think of Nick and Vanessa?
I like them. I know people always give them.
People were like calling for them to step down. You know, listen, I think she had a tough, both of them had a tough year or two in a reunion where they didn't, it almost was like they didn't question people normally. I don't know. Yeah. You know, they're not, it's not like they're investigative reporters or Andy on Bravo. So they may not have done the best job. But listen, I think they are cute. I like them a lot. And, you know, I don't see the problem with them. They seem like really nice people.
I think so. I think also the, like, it's, I don't, people like blame them for like, oh, they didn't ask enough of these questions or these questions. It's unlike Andy Cohen with like Real Housewives. That's his show.
Right.
Like he calls the shots, like he stirs the drama. Nick and Vanessa are, it's not their show. They're the hosts of the show. So they're like doing what they want. So it's really not a Nick and Vanessa issue. I think it's like a, the Netflix, whatever, the production has decided that that's not what the angle they want to go for the reunion. So I believe if you have an issue with that, if you're a viewer, it's not a Nick and Vanessa thing. It's you can complain, but that's not the person to complain to.
Right. Yeah. And I definitely think the takeaway from watching some of the stuff they put out last night is that Love is Blind does work. There's been a lot of couples that have gotten married, that are still married, that have had kids, and people seem really happy 5 years later, whatever it's been now, four, three for some of them. But that was really nice to see. So I hope it continues on. It's one of my favorite binges. And Leo, we talked about this earlier, but we are going to have you back on Misunderstood to talk about your life in particular and be more specific about you because you have your own amazing story. And I want to definitely have you back on for that. We're going to do that in person. But if anyone is listening and anyone wants to jump into your DMs and find you and try to date you, tell people where they could find you.
You can find
besides me. Besides Jill Zarin.
That's right. She can be my filter. Yeah. If you can find me at Leo _ my last name, Braudy on Instagram and TikTok. And I guess I repost the videos to YouTube, but no one's watching me on YouTube.
Right. Okay, perfect. And that reminds me, there was a movie, a couple movies about, you know, a mom who ends up getting all the, it wasn't DMs at the time, but all the requests to date their son and goes through them. And the daughter also goes through them. So how fun would that be? A story or some sort of a show where Jill and Allie are going through all the girls and they decide who you're going to date or who you're going to marry. This would be fun.
For me specifically?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They know me really well. So I would put my trust in them.
I know. I'm going to have to talk to Jill about it. The next time she comes over.
Like the Jewish mother version of The Bachelor, you're saying?
Exactly.
Oh, that would be funny.
And then all the dates you have to go on and you see your facial expression of like, oh my God, how did she pick this one? You know, it would be amazing.
That would really be something.
Yeah. All right. Well, I can't wait to see you again. Good luck with everything. Thank you for breaking this down, and we will be in touch soon.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.